Macmillan Audio presents Madame Claude by William Stadium. Read for you by Eliza Foss and Keith Sellen Wright.
Introduction. If the measure of a person's power is the magnitude and amplitude of the secrets he or she keeps, then Madame Claude was surely one of the most powerful people in the world when I met her in Los Angeles in 1981. From 1957 to 1977, Madame Claude had been the unofficial Madame de la République of the old guard regimes of Charles de Gaulle and his successor Georges Pompidou, catering to the sexual whims of fellow heads of state, royalty, tycoons, and stars who bestrode the earth. It was her connection to Hollywood and her panoply of celebrity clients that had occasioned her relocation to the West Coast. Notwithstanding the blandishments of Beverly Hills, despite the sun and despite the stars, her loyal stars, when I first encountered the elegant French queen of sex, she seemed as dispirited in her exile as Napoleon on Sainte Helena. Madame Claude had fled France in 1977 in the face of looming criminal charges that she had evaded taxes on millions of dollars in undeclared income. What she denounced as a political witch hunt was couched by the new centrist government of Valéry Giscard d'Estaing as an effort to show the world that France's commitment to American-style modernity was more than allowing a few McDonald's to open on the Champs-Élysées. Giscard was waging an anti-prostitution campaign against the supermadam, who was considered the embodiment of France's decadent Ancien Régime. Claude herself detested the P-word. She vehemently maintained that her famous clientele wasn't paying for sex. They were paying for an experience, a spectacle. Claude wasn't in the sordid business of putting bodies in beds. She was in the rarefied business of making the dreams of the world's biggest dreamers come true. If Paris was the capital of sex, Madame Claude was the capitalist of sex. In her late 50s, as chic and slim and blonde as the most high-toned Paris socialite, Madame Claude held court at the high tables of Hollywood's power restaurants as filmdom's leading actors, agents, and moguls compulsively table-hopped to kiss the hand that had answered the magic telephone that could turn any celluloid fantasy into reality. For her alchemy, and for basically creating and perfecting the concept of the call girl, Madame Claude had become rich, one of the richest entrepreneurial women in the world of her time. She was to Eros what Coco Chanel was to fashion, elegant, imperious, and entirely self-made. If she weren't trading in sex, she could have been a beacon of feminism, a genuine role model. Ever since I had first discovered Paris as a student, I had been aware of Madame Claude. She was as French as the Eiffel Tower. A date with a Claude girl, as they were known, was one of those pinnacle Paris experiences, like staying at the Ritz or dining at Maxime's or wearing a Lanvin suit that I never expected to have, an apotheosis of luxury that the French do better than any other nationality. Yet here I was in Beverly Hills, hanging out with the woman who knew more about the private lives of the world's brand names, names like Kennedy, Rothschild, Mountbatten, Agnelli, Onassis, Pahlavi, Saud, Sinatra, Brando, than anybody else. My mission was to convince her to collaborate with me on a book about those names and about those lives, as well as the lives of the women she called her swans, the Cinderellas to whom she played the role of the most outrageous fairy godmother who ever existed. I had a simple title for the book, Sex and Power. Nobody could tell it better than she. I thought it was a project that...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?